episode of the Ad Drop Podcast. As we continue our spin around college football in anticipation of the start of the 2022 season, we find our way to West Virginia, where the Mountaineers are might be one of the most interesting teams to watch this year. Joining me today is from Last Word on College Football, Travis Kenobi. Good afternoon, Travis. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, man?
Not bad, not bad. Now, the Mountaineers finished 6-7 last year, and they pretty much had to put the pedal to the metal to just get to a bowl game. Neil Brown is, he's now, this is his team. He's had a couple of recruiting classes. How hot is his seat right now in Morgantown?
I don't, you know, it's not really that hot from an administrative point of view. Because his buyout's pretty big. It's hot in terms of what fans want. You know, fans want a turnaround season this year, and they'll be calling for his head if he doesn't win. But, frankly, I think he has two more seasons either way just because of the way the buyout is structured. And, you know, West Virginia is not a team that can afford to pay coaches' buyouts every couple of years.
True. Now, one of the most interesting things I think that happened in the Big 12 this year was the hiring of offensive coordinator slash quarterbacks coach Graham Harrell. Bright mind, young guy, I think he's 38, has extensive college experience, had a cup of coffee the right year with the Packers that earned a Super Bowl ring, but had a cup of coffee in the NFL, but comes from the Mike Leach tree. What do you expect Harrell to bring to the Mountaineers?
So Graham answered a big question, actually, going into this season for the Mountaineers and for Neil Brown. You know, Coach Brown has had had a rough go of it with the offense the last three seasons. You know, the offense has been worse than pedestrian under him so far. And he, you know, he took the criticism to heart, and he decided to go out and hire the best offensive coordinator that he could find, and that was Graham Harrell. And we're pretty excited to see what he can do with the Mountaineers. I think he's going to bring a more balanced attack than you might guess coming from that air raid tree. But he is going to air it out, and I think he's got the quarterback to do it.
Now, if we look at the quarterback position, they lose Adeyi to, I think, Western Kentucky, which – if you listen to Mountaineer fans, they are not too broken up about it. But they gain JT Daniels. Now, Garrett Green was, he saw some extensive reps last year. How does Daniels grasp his offense in two? Will you still see Green here and there in spurts?
I'm not sure if we will. I'll answer your second question first. I'm not sure if we will see big doses of Garrett Green or not. You know, I think the coaching staff is going to leave some of that for sort of surprises throughout the season. You know, they know what he can do with his legs. What he can do with his arm is a bigger question mark. But, I mean, so far, Neil Brown has said this is an open quarterback competition, but – frankly, we don't believe him. You don't bring in a guy like JT Daniels to not start the season. Now, whether Daniels can stay healthy is obviously the biggest question mark around him. And if JT Daniels does not stay healthy, perhaps we see more of Green.
Now, looking at the running back position, the Mountaineers have to replace a recent legend in Letty Brown, who just was the workhorse. Is there concern that those behind him or those who will, you know, now take his place won't be up to the same par, or what is the hope in Morgantown as far as the running back position?
Well, that's definitely one of the places that we're going to have new faces at running back. You know, Letty Brown has been running consistently for 4 years for the Mountaineers. He finished his career 6th all-time in rushes and rushing yards and 8th all-time in rushing touchdowns. So it's not someone that you can just say, oh, we'll be fine without. You will definitely miss him. But they have a trio of running backs One in Tony Mathis, who was sort of a speedy, more of a game-breaking speed running back than Letty Brown was. And then behind him, they have two four-stars in Justin Johnson and Jalen Anderson. And Neil Brown told us just yesterday that Justin Johnson really sort of took to the summer training program to get his body right and to get reps in OTAs and sort of figure out what it is that he needs to do. And they're really excited about him. So I think they have a trio that can do it, that can replace that production overall. But to say that we're not going to miss Letty Brown would just be a lie. I mean, you know, you're right, recent legend in Mountaineer history.
Now, on the outside, you've got Bryce Ford-Wheaton and Sam Jones. Do they have one of the most underrated receiving cores in the Big 12, or do you think because of the implementation of the new offense under Graham Harrell that it'll take a little time?
I don't think it will take much time for them to adjust at all. And part of the reason is that this summer was the first summer that the NCAA allowed OTAs, where the team can do drills, just like they do in NFL mini camps, and drills where the coaches, you know, not yelling at them, but sort of telling them what they expect and what they need to do. And Coach Brown, you know, has said as much in the last couple of days that, you know, the team was really ready. They have to get their timing down, but they know what we expect, and they've been doing it for, you know, 8 weeks out of the summer. So I think they're actually ahead of the curve. And I think that those receivers in particular are pretty excited to see what they can do, you know, in an offense that likes to air it out.
What has been the word about Jarrell Williams and Jeremiah Aaron and Cortell Bram, the two JUCO transfers and guys who are further down the depth chart? Has there been good reports that the Mountaineers will have depth, or is depth still going to be a concern?
I mean, you gotta think with new guys that depth will be a concern sort of at the beginning of the season, just because, you know, the guys can do well in practice. I mean, look at Jarrett Dagey the last 2 years. I mean, Coach Brown and staff said he practiced like the best player on the team. And then you get out in front of the bright lights and big crowds, and sometimes you just don't translate it onto the field. So we need to see what they actually do on the field. But, you know, Brown has mentioned Cortez Bram by name several times already during summer and the beginning of fall camp, which started Sunday. He thinks highly of that kid. And Jarrell Williams, I think, was a vastly underrated recruit last year, put up about 1,000 yards his senior season. And, you know, I think that he's got room to grow. The only real question is whether he will get the playing time, because if you look at sort of Graham Harrell's history as an offensive coordinator, he really focuses on using three or four wide receivers the bulk of the time, and letting the other guys fill in as needed. And I think that's better, frankly, for the four starters to get that continuity. But if there are injuries, I think we have guys who are going to be ready to step in as needed.
Now, along the offensive line, the Mountaineers actually have a luxury that most offensive lines don't. They return all five starters. Considering what they have coming in as far as the type of new offense, how much of an advantage does that give them early on?
I think it gives them a very big advantage. You know, the last 3 years, the offensive line has been sort of a work in progress and developing. Neil Brown was not left with the best room of offensive linemen when Dana Holgorsen left. So these guys have been developing sort of on their feet, hit the ground running. And that's never good for an offensive line. That I think more than any position in college football, that one takes the longest to develop. It's tedious. It requires a lot of conditioning and, you know, the right nutrition to change the body. But I think, you know, these guys coming back, returning all five starters is going to be a huge advantage for them. And, you know, I've read from a couple of different conference-wide experts that they expect the West Virginia offensive line to be one of the best, if not the best, in the conference as a result. And if we get anywhere near that production, I think you're going to see a very interesting Mountaineer team that could be in the thick of it by the end of the season.
Now, when we come back from break, I want to discuss the Mountaineer defense, the schedule, and your thoughts and expectations about the season. But that's after this break. You are listening to the Ad Drop podcast on the Full Press Radio Coverage Network. We are back with the Ad Drop podcast. Terrence Biggs, Travis Kanabi from Last World in College Football, covering the West Virginia Mountaineers. Travis, we talk about the defense. Now, defense last year, if anyone watched the Oklahoma game, saw just a lights-out effort, and they returned Dante Stills, who seemed like he's just been here forever, and Taj Austin up front. Explain how having two veteran defensive linemen is going to help them, and who occupies the middle of that defense? Like, who does all the dirty work on the defensive line?
You know, I almost wanted to start that question by talking about the secondary, but I won't dodge your question, and I'll start with the defensive line. The middle is going to be manned primarily by Jordan Jefferson, who is also a veteran. He has about 400 to 500, maybe a little more snaps at the D1 level, starting experience in the middle. Really changed his body over the course of the off season. He's going to take the majority of those snaps. And that's going to let Dante Stills and Taj Alston sort of run off the edges and, put some pressure on the quarterback and get into the backfield some. I think that Dante Stills coming back for his fifth year is really going to help. It's not often that you have the luxury of a fifth year, not just a fifth year, player in the program, but Dante Stills is basically a fifth year starter because of that extra COVID year. And the snaps that he's accumulated and the maturity and leadership that he's developed, I think that's certainly going to show as the season winds on.
Now, to your point, you want to throw it with secondary. They have lost a lot of folks via transfers and those who have moved on via graduation and stuff like that. How much of a concern is the secondary for the Mountaineers right now at this point?
It is a concern. It's one of sort of the what I consider the three biggest questions on the team is sort of the secondary. But for all that they lost, they also brought in quite a few new bodies. Some are, transfer portal ads, and others are high school kids who might have an opportunity to contribute on the field, particularly towards the end of the year. They're pretty excited about a trio of transfers in Jazeer Cox, who comes from North Dakota State, Wes McCormick, who comes from James Madison, and Jay Ajayi, who comes from Colorado State. Collectively, those guys have 66 starts between them. So it's not like they're bringing in guys who have not seen a college football game. And two of them come from programs who have a lot of wins in Jazeer Cox and Wes McCormick. There's going to be some battles for the positions, but one of the things I find interesting, and this is why I almost started off the defensive line commentary with this, is that, Neil Brown, he's not going to throw, and he hasn't thrown any players under the bus by name, but he said that the team the last 3 years has really had to mask a weakness in man coverage. But he now believes that they are longer and faster, and that they're going to be able to play a lot more man coverage and rotate where the pressure comes from and be able to bring more pressure off of the defensive line as a result. So, because they don't have to, they don't have to keep an extra guy back to mask the man coverage deficiencies. And what we've seen in the spring and with the guys we've seen come in with the experience they have, I mean, it does look like there are a bunch of team first players, which was not the case the last couple of years in particular. So I think the cornerback, the secondary, it's still a question mark because, again, they have to do it on the field. But I think if the personnel lines up the right way and the way that Neil Brown predicts that they will, I think we're going to see much improved play on both the defensive line and the secondary as a result.
Now, stepping in at linebacker, you have Lance Dixon and Exby Lowe on the weak side. Middle linebacker is definitely key to any spot. Who steps in and what do they offer?
It's going to be Lee Koma is going to start there. There was a lot of offseason talk about the unexpected transfer of Josh Chandler Tomato. He was a multi-year starter for West Virginia, racked up a gang of tackles. You would think that would be missed production, but we started hearing smoke in the spring that Lee Koma was really becoming a leader. He was a transfer, initially recruited out of high school by West Virginia, but took sort of a circular route to get here, but a four-star talent. And they said that he really just became a leader in the locker room. And, about him, Neil Brown says he's just sort of one of those players that loves playing the game, just plays with a lot of joy and gratitude to be able to have the opportunity to play. I think that he's going to man that Mike linebacker spot, and he's going to hold it down as long as he stays healthy. And I think that the production is actually going to increase from him versus where we were last year.
Now, looking at the Mountaineer schedule, it starts off with Pitt, who may not be who definitely won't be the same as last season. Who's their quarterback, Kenny Pickett, who's the best receiver in USC, and Kansas and Towson. Is there any way possible you see the Mountaineers not starting 3-0?
So I've got sort of three 50-50 games on the schedule when I think about it, and Pitt is one. And I think it's one primarily because of how old and historic of a rivalry it is, and those two teams have always surprised each other. And it's not like they're replacing Kenny Pickett with an inexperienced or bad quarterback. Keaton Slovis had some pretty good years at USC, so they don't have to start from scratch at that position. I do think it's a game that West Virginia ultimately wins. But if you ask me, is there a chance that we don't start 3-0? Yes. I mean, I think that Pitt game, at the end of the day, really could go either way. But at the end of the day, I think the good guys win.
Now, for those of you, my girlfriend is a West Virginia native. She's from Mingo County, and she's a diehard West Virginia fan. And we have a standing bet. So, Travis, you can settle this bet. We have a bet that I have such faith in his offense where I think that the Mountaineers will win 9 games. If I'm right, she gets a West Virginia tattoo. Who's going to be right in this situation?
So if the Mountaineers win 9 games, she gets a tattoo?
Yes.
Okay. I think she's going to get a tattoo, particularly if JT Daniels stays healthy.
Now, looking at the Big 12 in general, you said that you thought that the Mountaineers would definitely be in the thick of it. With Texas being, well, still Texas, Oklahoma kind of reading for the loss of Lincoln Riley, why does it seem like this conference seems like it is more wide open than it has been?
I think it's really, sort of the coaching changes at the heads. I mean, I know that they're really excited about McGuire at Texas Tech, but you still have to go through the install of an entirely new coaching program. I'm not sold on Sonny Dykes at TCU. It looks like, Matt Campbell has benefited from some experience at running back, quarterback, and all across the defense the last few years. This is going to be a rebuilding year for him. And Oklahoma, Venable certainly comes from a great program out of Clemson and is a defensively-minded coach, something that Oklahoma has been desperately looking for the past few years. But again, sometimes it takes time with a new coach. Talent is clearly there. And I'm not sold on Sarkisian either at Texas, because you're right, Texas has been Texas, and they're always sort of a threat to come back, but you know, other than a year or two in the last 15, they have never actually shown that they have the ability to be Texas again. I think it's wide open.
Now, when I look at West Virginia, I look at the fan base. Have people forgiven Pat McAfee yet, or is he still going to be on that list forever?
I think they've forgiven him. I think that happened several years ago. In fact, you know, there's a growing number of the fan base that is actually even starting to forgive Rich Rodriguez, believe it or not. There are some who would, you know, dispute that vehemently, but they're the ones who will probably never forgive either of them. But Pat has done a lot for West Virginia, and having such a public persona and really touting West Virginia every chance he gets has been good for that.
If you have one quarterback to pick from the Mountaineers to build a program around, you have Major Harris or Pat White. Who are you taking?
Man, that's a great question. I almost want to punt on that, but if I had to pick one, mostly because I saw him firsthand, I was in Morgantown in law school for the years that he played. I'm going to go with Pat White. I mean, just seeing him in person every home game and several away games, that guy was electric. He was a really fun player to watch. No disrespect at all to Major Harris, though, but I prefer Pat White.
It's funny, being a little older, I remember going and actually being in attendance when the Mountaineers beat Miami. And the atmosphere in Morgantown of college town is one of the most electric atmospheres that it is a must-see on any type of destination people must go to. It is alive, and I think that the Mountaineers offense they're going to put up some points. They might play like a Mountain West team offensively, like as far as being able to put that scoreboard. The question is that defense. If the defense can summon up anything, I think the Mountaineers will be a problem. Now, how can people interact with the social media, and what do you have coming up on Last Word in College Football?
Well, I'm on Twitter at Travis Kenobi. Last name is spelled K-N-O, two B's as in boy, E as in Edward. And I am finishing up. I've done sort of a 10-part series over the summer to fill the gap of Mountaineer moments in adversity. And I'm actually completing that with parts 9 and 10 over the next week and a half, and sort of going into our normal preseason coverage of, you know, who are the biggest surprises that we can expect, what are the biggest questions for the team, and all of that is on Last Word on collegefootball.com.
Travis Kenobi from Last Word on College Football. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Ad Drop Podcast.
Thank you.
This has been another episode of the Ad Drop Podcast. Be good to each other.